Today on the pastor study, we're going to finish the study that we did last time. We began a study on the Bible character Caleb. And the title of our study is Caleb, the Man Who Followed God. And we began to look at some things about Caleb that point out that characteristic, that he was truly a man who followed God. We want to pick up and see that he was willing to support one who was his equal. He was willing to support one who was his equal. And of course, that was Joshua. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 14, and we want to look at verse number 6 together. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. So we see then, here we see the children of Israel came to Joshua when Moses died. And Joshua was chosen to be the leader of the children of Israel. Now, when it came time for the promise of God to be fulfilled, the children of Israel came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb also came with them. And Caleb could have said, because remember that it was Caleb and Joshua, two of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy the promised land. Out of only the 12, those two, Joshua and Caleb, said that it's a great land, just as God said it would be. And of course, the other 10 spies gave an evil report and said, oh, yes, the land is good, but we're just grasshoppers in the people's sight, amen. There are giants, we can't beat them, amen. But it was Caleb and Joshua that says, God has given us the land, let's not fear, let's trust in God and go take it, amen. So he was equal, amen, with Joshua, but he was willing to support one who was his equal. See, Caleb could have said, I have just as much right as you do to go into the presence of God and ask for these things. But he was willing to take a back seat, amen. You recall that both he and Joshua, as I said earlier, brought a good report from the promised land. And when God chose to put his hand on Joshua to lead the children of Israel, we find no place where it bothered the sweet spirit of Caleb. You know, he could have had problems with it. You know, he could have said, well, why are you picking Joshua and not me? I'm his equal. I'm just as good as he is. But no, it didn't bother him. He didn't let it get to his flesh. He supported one that was his equal. And this is why we see that he truly was a man of God. Caleb was truly a man who followed God. We also want to see that he was a patient man. He was a patient man. Again, in Joshua chapter 14, in verses 9 and 10, Joshua 14, verses 9 and 10. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day fourscore and five years old. We see that Caleb here is 85 years old. He was a patient man. He said, Moses had promised that land that would be given to me, said Caleb. And in verse 10, we just read, now that was 45 years ago, he said. How many of us would wait 45 years for a promise of God to be consummated? I really don't think many of us, especially today's Christian, where we're so impatient here in America, amen, always looking for a quick fix, amen. Everything in our society is built on instant, amen, instant gratification, amen. But he was a patient man, Joshua. He waited 45 years. He believed God, he knew God would keep his promise, and he did here. We see also that he served when he was an old man. Again, we see in Joshua chapter 14, in verse 10, Caleb said, I am this day 85 years old. And of course, this was after the time of a man living to great ages. And in this place, this man, Caleb, was 85 years old. And the great thing about it was, he was still serving the Lord with the same strength as he served when he was a child. And then we see, amen, the last point we want to see about Caleb is he gave his daughter to the man who won Kirjath-Sefer. Looking in Joshua 15, verse 16. Joshua 15, verse 16. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. He said, the power of God will have to be on the man who marries my daughter. You see, Caleb was not impressed by any potential suitor's looks, strength, intelligence, or fortune. No, he wanted a son-in-law who could get a hold of God. Amen? And Christian parents, that's what you should all want for your daughter. As a man, a son-in-law, who will get a hold of God. As we conclude our study here on Caleb, we need to learn this. If God was willing to bless Caleb and to say that he had followed him fully, an unchanging God expects the same service from his people today. So let us follow the Lord fully as Caleb did, as he did. Amen? So that concludes the study on Caleb. Next, we want to look at a new Bible character as we're doing a series on Bible characters. The next person we want to look at is Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper. And of course, Naaman's story is found over in the book of 2 Kings and chapter 5. But before we take a look at him, amen, I want to talk a little bit about leprosy, amen, as Naaman was a leper. So let's take a little bit of time as a bit of introduction, and look at leprosy. Now, leprosy was a terrible disease, starting on the hands and on the eyes. And you know something? You know, as we see, leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. Sin is the same way, is it not? Sin usually is started in the eyes. And then once we see, we take. In fact, these words were mentioned in Achan's sin over there in Joshua chapter 7. He said he saw, he coveted, and he took. So we see that oftentimes sin starts in the eye, but what we see. Remember, Eve saw that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good to eat. She saw it, amen. Also, another thing about leprosy is leprosy was very contagious. In fact, the leper had to put his hands over his mouth and cry, "Unclean, unclean," when in public. You see, sin is the same way. Our sins cause others to sin. It can be contagious, just as leprosy. Amen? Then we see that leprosy at first didn't seem so bad. But later it causes eyes to fall out of their sockets, parts of the body to rot and fall off at the joints. The same way with sin. Sin doesn't seem bad at first. Amen? You know, I think of Samson when I think of the effects of sin. Amen? He was separated in his mother's womb to be a Nazarite. Amen? Separated unto the Lord to serve the Lord. He was given great strength by the Lord. Amen? And then he married an unsaved woman. He lived a fleshly life. Amen? Gratifying his sensual lust. Amen? With women. And how it didn't seem bad at first when he began. But how do we find him? We find him at his end, just before he dies. He's blinded, he's binded, and he's grinding in the prison house. So leprosy, like sin, at first didn't seem so bad. Also, leprosy was humanly incurable. The same thing is true with sin. Amen. There's nothing a man can do to save himself from sin. Amen. From the wages of sin is death. Amen. And then we see about leprosy, in the end, leprosy separated people from their loved ones. Leprous people were placed in leper camps. The same is true with sin, my friend. A person who dies in his or her sins must be separated from eternity, from all that is holy and righteous. Now, let us look at Naaman and something about his background for a moment. Now, the word Naaman, amen, means pleasantness or delight. He was the commander of the army of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, Damascus. He had won deliverance, amen, from the Syrians. He was not separated from society because in leprosy, in Syria, leprosy did not exclude one from human society, as was the case in Israel. So he won deliverance for the Syrians. Amen? He was a mighty military man. Naaman had the disease of leprosy. And he was told about Elisha the prophet. He was told about Elisha the prophet by a little Jewish girl who had became a slave to Naaman's wife when she was brought away by the soldiers during one of the Syrians' raids into Israelite territory. The little girl expressed to her mistress the wish that Naaman were with Elisha in Samaria, and that the prophet could heal him of his leprosy. We see that account in 2 Kings chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me. And let's see the account of the little Jewish girl that was taken captive, beginning in verse 2 of 2 Kings 5. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Now, first point we want to see is Naaman's inability to save himself. Look at the description of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 in verse number 1. It says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, an honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But, it's an awful big but here, but he was a leper. So we see that he was a captain. He was an able general. Yet the last four words in this verse that we just read say, he was a leper. In other words, being an able warrior will not eliminate the need of salvation. Amen. He was also a great man. In other words, my friend, great men must be saved, just like all others. He was an honorable man. He was a good man, respected in his neighborhood, yet good men and respected men must be saved, like all others. Not only that, he was a mighty man. He was brave, courageous, strong, noble. And yet, you know, these people need to be saved too. So often people think the old-time religion is well and good for the simple, the poor, and those that need it. The truth of the matter is, famous athletes, the Hollywood stars, the bankers, the millionaires, the billionaires, the politicians, all must be saved the same way as the poor man. By faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the second thing we want to look at is Naaman's attempts to save himself. You know, man hates to admit he cannot save himself. Even after admitting so, he hates to admit that he cannot help in some way. Such was the case of Naaman. He tried to add his efforts to God's plan. We want to see first, man wants to help by ceremony. Looking in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now you need to picture Naaman in all the pomp and ceremony of coming with his chariot and horses at the door of Elisha. It's a good day for man, my friend, when he realizes that his candle burning, his ordinances, his ritual, his bead counting, whatever it may be, whatever he tries to do cannot save him, but just simple faith in Christ. Nathan also pictures a man that wants to help make salvation. Amen. Man wants to make salvation. He wants to help make salvation. Looking in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, it says, And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. See? Notice the words he says here. I thought. See, Naaman was angry that the plan was apart from his own thinking. Proud man wants to think up his own salvation, does he not? There's something that I must be able to do to save myself. You know, this is as much idolatry as making a god of wood, or metal, trying to save oneself, trying to do something to earn one's way into heaven. We also see in Naaman that man is full of pride. Look at in verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Naaman was too proud to follow the simple plan of God. You see, he thought his rivers were better. In other words, his way of salvation was better than God's way of salvation. How like modern man this is, amen? Is it not? We think our ways are better. You know, every time I go soul winning, I meet someone who tells me, I've got my own religion. Amen. That would be fine, my friend, if you had your own heaven. However, heaven is God's home for his people. And to get into God's heaven, my friend, you have to do it God's way. Amen. And then we see, amen, then we see he got saved only when he yielded to God's plan. Verses 13 and 14. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. Praise the Lord. So see, only after he yielded to God's plan was he clean. The same way, only when the sinner yields to God's plan of salvation will he be saved. Saved from his sins, have his sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of Christ. Let's look at the result of his salvation. Notice he made a public profession of his faith in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And notice how his attitude changed toward the preacher, Elisha. He said in verse 15, Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. A few minutes ago, he was mad at the preacher. Now he loves him and wants to give him something. And then we see that he had a desire, another result of his salvation, he had a desire to give. Look at in verse 23, 2 Kings 5. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bear them before him. It's amazing, my friend, how liberal a person can become when he realizes how liberal Christ has been in offering him salvation so freely. And then we see, as a result of his salvation, as we see that Naaman's healing is a picture of a type of salvation, he immediately thought of staying close to God. Notice in verse 17, in 2 Kings 5, And Naaman said, this is what he said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdened of earth. See, many people in Naaman's part of the world believed that the God of any nation adhered to national boundaries. Thus, by taking earth from Israel with him, Naaman perhaps thought that he could be closer to God. His thinking was way off base, but his intentions were great. He wanted to stay close to God. Today, the sad fact is all too many Christians, amen, seem to be trying to get as far away from God as possible. And then we see, also in verse 17 of 2 Kings 5, he immediately thought of worshiping God. Notice what he says here. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. So we see that Naaman immediately thought of worshiping God. We see here that he set about to build an altar whereby he might worship God. And as you know, the altar in that day that Naaman lived was a place of worship. People who are saved are always included, have always, people that are the children of God, who are saved, who are born again, always include this in their activities. That's why at my church, we have an altar call. Maybe your church has given up on the old-fashioned altar call. Amen. But I believe when the Word of God is preached, amen, it's promised not to return void, that it's impacted the hearer. Decisions have to be made. And that's what that altar is all about. For sinners who are lost to come to be saved, for saved sinners who are already saved to come and worship God and do business with God and get a hold of God. As we come to conclusion here of our study of Naaman, amen, we need to thank God for several things. Let us thank him for his salvation, realizing the condition that we were in individually, dead in trespasses and sin, separated from Almighty God, on our way to hell. Let us thank him. Number two, there is nothing man can do to be saved. He praised the Lord. Amen. There's nothing, you know, nothing that you and I can do personally to save ourselves. And let us thank him. There is a plan whereby God saved us. A plan that was formed, was thought of, was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Amen. A plan that says, lost sinner, to be saved, to know that you're going to heaven when you die, to spend time in eternity with Jesus. You must come with simple childlike faith, believing that Christ died. He died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save you. And all you have to do, sinner, is repent of your sins, ask Jesus to save you, and receive him by faith into your heart. And then finally, we need to thank him for the desire he truly gives each one that's born again to serve him. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study. This is Pastor Gino Cassieri. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer for each and every one of you is that God would richly bless you, and good day.